worst.
Conway describing it that way to Fox News. Manning's 35-year sentence being cut short. She'll now be released in May. This is USA Radio News.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
The suspect fired at officers, and officers responded with gunfire.
Another American law enforcement officer losing his life while on duty, this time in Texas.
It was at that point that Detective Walker was wounded.
The police chief in Little Elm, Texas, north of Dallas, saying that that detective later died of his wounds, and the suspect was found dead inside the home in which he barricaded himself. The man suspected of gunning down a Florida police sergeant last week is finally in custody. Orlando police say Markeith Lloyd was nabbed at an abandoned home after a bit of a struggle last night.
He did resist arrest, and he does have some facial injuries, and Lieutenant Deborah Clayton's handcuffs were placed on him.
The Orlando police chief referring to the fact that they used the handcuffs which had belonged to the officer who Markeith Lloyd allegedly shot and killed when they arrested him last night. They say he was wearing body armor when he shot the cop and at the time of arrest. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A family's mourning the death of their son who was killed during a Marine training exercise last week. The United States Marine Corps confirming Austin Ruiz of Naples, Florida, did die during a live fire training exercise at a military base in California. Another Marine was injured during that exercise.
I know she's innocent.
That's an uncle of the wife of the Orlando Pulse nightclub terrorist attacker. Noor Salman was in court yesterday briefly in Oakland, California, on a charge of aiding and abetting her husband's support of ISIS and then obstructing a police investigation. Her uncle says her only concern right now is for her young son.
She don't think outside the box. She always think, what I going to do for my son? What I going to buy for my son?
The 30-year-old woman's husband, Omar Mateen, killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando in June before he was killed by police. A pair of retired New York sports stars will be part of a new reality show.
Alex Rodriguez is quite busy since retiring. He's been a baseball analyst on TV and will be a special advisor for the Yankees in the upcoming season. And now the former Yankee will host a reality show about helping financially troubled retired athletes. The CNBC show called Back in the Game will be co-produced by former Giant Michael Strahan. The pilot episode pairs former athletes with mentors who helped them get back on their feet financially. Scott Pringle, New York.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Vaughn.
And good morning, and you know what that music is. That's the new music, 2017, of Modern Design. I'm very happy this morning to have in studio with me somebody that's wonderful, that's dynamic. Her name is Cindy Blanco. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning again. It's so great to be here.
I don't want the music to stop. All right, that's a little bit fun today. We're having a little bit of fun with our new theme song is More, 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 but that was a little sort of a campy version of it. Let's start by taking a look at what the weather is going to be for today and this week, and then we'll get into our program. Okay, it's currently 40 degrees. It's overcast skies, and today there's a 20% chance of slight showers. Well, I got rained on this morning when I was leaving. How about you? I think there's a 100% chance of slight showers.
That's unbelievable driving that way.
You know, it's funny. We're having sort of a we're moving today, so some strange things are going on. But I hear sort of an echo on both of our voices, don't you?
Not really.
No. You probably do want to get a little bit closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Okay, so tonight it says it's going to be cloudy with a low of 30 degrees, which is pretty cold. On Thursday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 51 degrees. On Thursday night, it's going to be partly cloudy with a low of 28. On Friday, it says 40% chance of showers, but then sunny with a high of 47. On Friday night, chance of rain with a low of 36. On Saturday, it will be mostly cloudy with a high of 52. That's a pretty good number. On Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 36. And on Sunday, it's a 40% chance of showers. So there's a high of 47 degrees. Well, my name is Richard Scuderi, and our program is called Modern Design here on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio. And with me in studio today is my guest, who is probably, like, I would say probably has the best vision for what I call rustic chic. And that is bringing in wood to spaces, creating sort of a rustic woodland-like look, and sometimes that look is contemporary, sometimes that look is traditional, sometimes that look goes a lot of ways. So good morning, Cindy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am by trade, my past life, I was a visual merchandiser for department stores for probably 27 years.
Okay.
And now I'm an interior designer. I am a visual merchandiser for stores that are opening up. I help people, you know, open their own businesses and decorate them and create a vision for a customer and an experience for a customer to come into and shop in their business. I'm a buyer.
Right.
I hang up pictures. I do everything.
Wow. No, and you know.
Anything creative.
Yeah.
Creative.
Cindy came to me because through, you know, I'm a blogger. I do a lot of media. I do a lot of social media. I do a lot of speaking. So I'm always looking for inspiration. What's new? What's changing? What's fresh? What can I bring to the table to give people something exciting, something to talk about? So I'm very observant. I call my iPhone my camera because I use it more to sort of journal what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So often I will put sneakers on and I will walk. When the weather is nice, I walk outside. When the weather isn't nice, I walk with the older people in the mall, probably, you know, having them pass me a couple times. I'm a mall walker. I'm a relatively young mall walker, but I'm a mall walker. But I'll have to tell you that, so the other day was a Tuesday, and I had my last appointment, and I wasn't quite ready to go home. And I said, you know what? I won't make it to the gym. I slipped my sneakers on, and I said, I'm going to walk the mall. And I was closer to Bridgewater, so I went to Bridgewater Mall, and I got my sneakers on with my phone in hand, both as my timer and my camera. And what I noticed is that several new businesses had opened. And I noticed that every single one of those, the facade was clad in some sort of a reclaimed wood. Consistently,
prefab or real?
I would have to say you would probably be able to determine that, but the look overall was sort of a reclaimed wood, consistently three separate independent businesses. So people that invest that kind of money in something don't just arbitrarily say, I like wood. There's a lot that goes into it before it gets there. There's a lot of market research. There's a lot of minds that are that come together to say, what are we going to present that's beautiful, that's current? All of those seem to be reclaimed wood.
It's really nice to use some businesses, especially where you're going to eat.
Right.
Establishments. There's the Woodstack Grill on 46, and the place is beautiful from outside. It
right.
It looks like the food tastes so good because
right.
of how it looks from outside.
You're giving it, right, you're giving it things that it may or may not have because of that look. It has an appeal or an attractiveness
it really does.
To it.
Even coffee shops, a lot of cool coffee shops in Brooklyn and Manhattan, they're independent ones, you know, not Starbucks and all that. They look gorgeous inside. They'll make a huge chalkboard on the wall with their menu.
Right.
That look will never go away. It's
right.
timeless and gorgeous. And the whole chalkboard is framed in vintage old wood pieces.
Right.
Fragments, architectural pieces of wood, and it just makes the menu look stunning.
And sort of sophisticated. You know, it's plain, but yet it's sophisticated at the same time.
Yeah, that whole modern, it's, you want to, when you go into a place, especially to dine or to eat or get coffee, whatever, to feel comfortable in there.
Sure.
It makes you want to stay.
Right, and it also feels like you're maybe you're having an experience.
Creating the experience.
Right.
Absolutely what the designers did with any business that looks like that.
We have a local business in town here called Greensleeves Village Bakery. They're a nonprofit. It's a great space. It's a big space. It's about 5,000 square feet.
It's huge. That place. I've been in that.
Yeah, and it used to be, I think, Royal Dalton. So we had the lovely ladies that run it and do the design work there. And it's such a creative space. So I could see people leaving their houses and wanting to go there on a snowy February day and have a cup of coffee and stay because it looks so good. Because all her projects tend to be reclaimed pieces, repurposed pieces. And I have more respect for that because anybody can go buy a chandelier and put it up. Somebody that reinvents something and brings creativity to the table, it's a place where you want to stay. You want to stay a while.
The whole recycling, upcycling, and repurposing is very trendy, but it's also really important for the future. I think about that with how, you know, when I go into a place, if I see something that's fake, like fake wood or wood composite,
right.
I get upset. Like if I go into a store and see all these signs that are made on composite pieces,
right.
I just think of landfills. So, I mean, you can make things yourself. You can go on Pinterest, of course, and see.
Right.
Just hit, like, wood, recycled, upscale, repurposed, and so many beautiful ideas come up. Reusing vintage things and making it beautiful in your home.
Yeah, no, it's nice. And I like, it's always nice to have something that has a story behind it.
Oh, it does. It is. It's true.
Just yesterday, I have three locations, and my location in Maplewood brings me a lot of artists and New York City people. And some gentleman just happened to be passing my shop, and he just sort of stopped in his tracks, and he goes, oh, what is this? And I said, well, we have a new design center here, and I'm the owner. And he says, well, I take pallets. I take old wagons. I take anything that's wood. I cut it, you know, I make it work, and then I put a piece of plexiglass on top, and I use them as side tables. I use them as coffee tables and so on. So it's interesting, and I'm going to bring some of his pieces. He has a warehouse out here in New Jersey, and I'm going to bring some of those recycled pieces in. But I think people are probably more approachable to stuff like that than they were before, don't you think?
They are. The whole palette thing is great. I know a woman who made some signs for that Sheppy Gardens place.
Sure.
And
those signs are great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. They're so beautiful.
Sure.
She was such a great find. She's a dear friend of mine. And she takes pallets, collects them. Her husband's an electrician. He gets the electrical wheels, the coil, the spool things.
Sure.
They make tables. They make all that. There is a lot of palletized artwork also, if you go on Pinterest and look. And
if you look
it'll
at
inspire
a,
you.
If you look at a pallet itself, I did some consulting for a number of years for a famous paint chain in New Jersey that has multiple stores. And I would go out sometimes just to, you know, get a cup of coffee or something, and I would pass where they had all the pallets, and I'm like, a lot of them had weathered and they had turned gray.
Good.
I'm like, these aren't garbage. These are magnificent.
They
and
are.
At one point, I asked the general manager, can I have some of these?
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I was nuts. What would you want an old weathered pallet? They're just beautiful.
They are, especially when they gray like that.
Sure.
Gorgeous.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to go to our first set of commercial messages. I hear a lot of feedback in your microphone, so we'll work on that. And we'll come back with more of Modern Design right after these commercial messages.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's, Purely Delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi, and today live in studio I have in-house the very gracious guest of mine, Cindy Blanco, who I would say is an expert on the look that I'm calling rustic chic. And that's something that seems to touch all different palettes. If you like traditional, if you like woodland, if you like contemporary, I think adding some wood or some rustic elements always make a space seem homey and so on. So before we went to our commercial break, we were talking about some applications of using reclaimed wood, repurposing things and doing that. And I'm seeing a lot of that. I think people are much more approachable to that. Let's talk about a flooring or flooring treatments and relating to wood. Are you working on anything or have been inspired by anything?
Well, what's hysterical is I'm most inspired by, believe it or not, at Home Depot, they have now, which a lot of people are picking up, ceramic wood tile.
Okay.
Ceramic that looks like it's real wood. There's probably 15 variations of it.
Right.
Four of them look really good and the rest look, a little fake. But they're stunning. You'd never know. And it's gorgeous because there's brown tones, there's gray tones, which everyone loves gray now. But you would never know from 5 feet away that it's fake unless you touch
it. You have to touch it. It's unbelievable.
It looks fantastic. And it goes by that, that old term, faux bois, which means, according to the Wikipedia, the artistic imitation of wood in various media.
Wow.
That's what it means, faux bois. And a lot of people, that term has been around since like Victorian times, I want to say. But it's beautiful. There's, resin faux bois.
Sure.
There's tape. There's cement faux bois. Like people make trees and side tables that look like wood.
Sure.
Out of cement. Resin is the best one. I have this planter probably from 1990. I don't know where I picked it up, in the city somewhere at some store. And it's a faux bois log.
Okay.
And I use it as an umbrella stand. I stick a plant in it at Christmas. Now it has my dog toys actually in it in my living room.
Right.
But it's really cool looking. It looks like an old log and it weighs, 2 pounds. It's huge.
Wow.
But very cool faux bois. Done. Uh-huh. Done right.
In the earlier part of my career, I think I started to learn about faux bois because often I would inherit, not so much in Hunterdon County, but if I go a little bit further towards the east, a lot of those developments happened in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And the new construction homes in the 1960s were often split levels. And they always had doors, like the door, if you look over here, they had the 1960s hollow core doors.
Yeah.
So fast forward 30 years and a new couple buys the house. It turns over a life cycle and they can't afford to replace all the doors in the house. So they'll say, how could I make this look more homey?
Yeah, sure.
So I found a wonderful artist right here in Hunterdon County that does faux bois. And what she would do is she would give those hollow core doors a wonderful wood look by creating that with paint. So that was my introduction to faux bois. I believe the word, I don't know, maybe the word faux bois, I think is translation, French, it's faux is fake.
False wood, actually.
Right.
Faux.
So
fake wood. Faux meaning fake.
And bois is wood.
Exactly.
So fake wood. So fake. Creating that on different surfaces is very apropos to 2017, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Especially watching someone paint like that. I did watch, I think it was a YouTube video where a woman's doing a faux bois
wall covering, which is so tedious. But she had, you know, like a giant brush with her, almost like a wallpaper brush.
Right.
And she was brushing down and creating the knots in it. It was gorgeous to watch someone be able to do that. Wallpaper is stunning in that, too, now.
Unbelievable.
That's been around for years. I love the way that looks. If you put that, like, inside the back of a bookcase.
Sure.
Really cool, creating depth and texture.
In my wall coverings, and this is really could be a whole show on wall coverings that have the wood look to it.
Right.
It is so, first of all, people are embracing wallpaper again.
They are.
In so many ways. Mm-hmm. For a couple of reasons. One, I think, is color, really saturated color, except I would say maybe for navy blue and charcoal grays.
Right.
I would say color, pink color has really changed and not much color on the walls anymore. So to compensate, I think, because we're taking away the reds, the golds, the greens, the browns, the tans, and we're going with light neutral grays or off-whites even, that people need to do something that has drama. So how do you create some drama in a space if all your colors are very neutral? You do it by adding texture. And what wallpaper does is gives you another level, another dimension, or another element. But I would say, I can never say 100%, but I would say 95% of the last, I would say, year, my projects have been wood-related looking wallpaper. I have done cork.
I love cork.
I have done faux cork.
Yep.
I have done wallpaper. There's an Anna French paper that looks like
I love Anna French.
That looks like birch logs.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
And I do nonstop, which is related to wood. I do nonstop grass paper wherever I go. And I do so much vinyl grass paper now. It's almost like I just bring the one set of grass paper and you pick your color and go.
It's that easy.
Both in commercial and in residential,
nonstop.
I've never seen such people embracing it so much. Why do you think that is?
Well, the newer generation, people who want to decorate, they understand that they have to bring in something interesting. Everybody is on Pinterest. Everybody's on YouTube looking at stuff. And especially, again, Pinterest, they want exactly what they're looking at in the picture. And by all of these beautiful things we're talking about being shown so much on social media, they want that. And they understand that it's comforting and it's good to see. I mean, you know, that whole modern, sleek, scary house thing. I'm done with all that. You should be warm. It's nice to raise your children in a home that is comfortable, and you come home after work, and you want to feel warm and cozy in your home. And I think using all those elements, natural elements especially, is what makes it, you know, what it's all about with that.
I also think that wood coexists well in a lot of different environments.
It does. With like a chrome framed couch, you can do like a you know, faux bois wallpaper behind it. That's awesome to do.
But, you know, I guess 2005, with a couple, I built a big sort of an Adirondack style house, about 10,000 square feet, a big project, took us 3 years to do.
Wow, that's great.
And they were all about it back then when it was not in style, when people were doing swags and jabots and grand dynasty looking shoulder pad. Right, yucky shoulder pad looking stuff.
Teeth hurt.
They were doing, we were looking for rustic chic.
Nice.
And in 2005, it was very hard to find rustic chic.
So hard.
But I will tell you that house held up very well on the inside, and I could have done it in 2005 or I could have done it today. I'm not taking personal credit.
But
I'm saying that
if you
go with a rustic chic or a wood look, it will stand the test of time.
It will. Timeless, seasonless, all that. You know, no one season. There's a thing, a job I had done for De Pasquale up in Morris Plains, the salon, where for the winter, I didn't want it to look so Christmassy. So I found just an image on Comstock, you know, stock photo company, and we purchased a birch logs, just a vision of a birch log, like an image. And then
I'm gonna back you up a little bit because I'm actually looking for something right now, and I was gonna use you as a source.
Oh,
because I have my Christmas pots or planters that are like sort of a zinc, and I want to put some sort of I have greens in them, but I want to put some sort of a wood in them. So are you saying you purchased the logs or you purchased an image of the logs?
We purchased an image of the logs.
That's what I didn't understand.
It was really
sorry.
Nice. Yeah, okay. Comstock is like stock photos,
right? Standard image, right?
And for advertising, also we purchased a birch log image. And then we blew it up and mounted it, reproduced it on photography paper, mounted it on foam core. And I used all these just white birch log images throughout the boutique.
That sounds amazing.
It was so pretty. And when you walked in, it just looked like you were kind of like in a forest.
Right.
And every other one had a little red cardinal that we left in it, but every other one. So it was not, you know, it wasn't like every single one.
It wasn't too repetitive.
No, it wasn't. And the cardinals were at different heights.
Now, did you frame the images or not frame them?
No, they have these giant resin, these giant laminate cubes that encompass the boutique to house merchandise.
Right.
And some of them up along the top, so to speak, I put them up there so the customer felt they looked down at the merchandise.
Sure.
But yet when they glanced up, they felt like they were, you know, very cozy and then like a country forest, so to speak, especially with a little cardinal around. But then I had real birch logs, which are gorgeous, and I had them in pots throughout the department too.
Do you have any resources for birch logs? And I'll tell you why.
Yes, so when I opened the
Maplewood store about a month ago, I was very inspired by when I met you and we talked.
Thank you. You did
such a good job with Sheppy Gardens.
Thanks.
That I said, you know what? I want to incorporate a lot of the elements of traditional reds and silvers, mercury glass, lots of greens, but mostly the birch logs.
Was that the beautiful picture you sent me?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It was amazing.
So incorporating some of that stuff really was inspired truly by you, Cindy Blanco, personally. But what I find is now, so I still have up, so I de-Christmasized, which many of us are doing.
De-Christmasized, I love that.
And our last week's blog and our last week's program was all about what to do when you take the Christmas tree down.
Oh, yeah.
Because we live in the Northeast and we have these three yucky months that we're going through, you don't want to have nothing.
Right.
So for me personally, when I took all the Christmas stuff down, I have these fantastic, I have a friend who's a florist, who's been a guest on Modern Design too, Flowers by the River in Califon, and she gave me and left in my driveway as a present these wonderful, I guess about 6 foot tall, white birch branches that were really big. So I tied them to my pole there.
Birch is a heavy log.
It's a heavy log.
It's a thin tree.
Well, they're not really logs. They're kind of more like branches. They're about this wide around. Right.
Because the logs are
so heavy. Right. So I tied them to the pole with some greens.
That's cool.
I took the bows and all that other stuff out and just left that. So to me, that looks like rustic winter.
It does. It's winter. That just reads winter.
You could keep that part, I think.
Absolutely.
Now, I have three zinc pots, and then the zinc pots are all, I took everything out, but there's mixed greens in them. Every different type of mixed greens. But I want to add an element, something else that doesn't look like Christmas. Because if you put berries in it, it looks like Christmas. If you put magnolia leaves, pine cones look like Christmas.
Yeah,
everything.
Magnolia too.
Magnolia leaves look like Christmas. So I thought, what is an element that I could add? And I thought, well, if I can get some more branches, I could do it. I figured you might have a resource for myself and our listeners.
Well, for branches, there's several ones. If you know a good landscaper or a landscaper that's a friend of yours, ask them if they're doing a pruning job. Birch needs to be pruned continuously.
Sure.
It grows like a weed almost. And I have a birch tree on my front lawn.
Right.
And I get a pole saw out and I have to cut it down because it starts to go around the electrical wires. But you know a landscaper,
right,
you can ask them. My dad actually cut down a whole bunch of birch logs for me, and my brother.
Right.
They did, because they're both landscape designers.
Right.
And they're the first resource. The second resource, which is pricey, is to go to a wholesale floral place. Now, there's one called G&G.
I've been to G&G. Right? Yeah.
And
they're like, still there. I haven't been there a long time.
Still there. The most neatest, cleanest wholesaler I've ever been in my life.
You cannot.
There is. It's immaculate. But it's very overpriced.
It's
because
very
of what
expensive,
it is. And
because
they're really the only game in town. There was, I still think it's there, Muller's in Newark. I used to ride down there a lot.
I know Fritz Muller. In fact, I did some house parties and he helped me with the flowers.
They're great people, but I just don't feel like going there anymore. And the parking is really hard.
It's scary to get out of the car there.
It's all right. It's to the left, it's a little bit.
Yeah.
To the right, you're like,
it's like, I got great flowers, but I died before the party.
Right.
It's a little scary.
It's pretty messed up.
I think Muller's is a family business, so I think it's probably still there. I don't know if Fritz is still running it, but yeah.
What's a shame about Muller's is they just stopped caring. They're just running, and they're really doing the wholesale fresh flower, and they don't care about the decorative and the artificial part so much anymore. But anyway, G&G is good, but you're buying each log for like $12 each.
Yeah.
So
how can you make that work?
If you need, you know, five to seven or ten, whatever, it gets to be expensive. So, I mean, I have a whole bunch in my house that my brother cut down, and half of them we gave to Sheppies, and I took about 10.
Right.
And I have them all just sort of leaning as you go up my staircase on the side of my house, just leaning in a bunch. I'm leaving them there till February.
So
they look really good.
Right. So, if you hadn't listened to a previous show, Cindy, the reason we connected is that she did this wonderful space called Sheppy Gardens, and they opened around, I guess their big sort of opening was around the holiday time because they had, you know, they did the Christmas season.
And Christmas in 3 weeks.
Right.
It was insane.
They did the Christmas season, so it was selling Christmas trees. So you made it very woodland, but very Christmas.
Yeah.
I haven't been inside yet. So now, I guess you took the Christmas stuff out, right? So
yeah.
How do you transition, or how do our listeners transition to have something that looks woodland but not Christmas? Do you know what I mean?
Well, some of the elements that we left, we're going to leave up in there, and they'll even read into the spring, is steel. We have steel spheres and shapes and, you know, some antique type pieces of metal and stuff and wagons and pots and zinc and all that. We're leaving that up.
Right.
And then we're just going to put spring things inside of it.
Sure.
But I find even like with your urns you're talking about, your zinc urns outside of your shop, go to like a store that's like a Home Goods or something and buy a bunch of spheres that are metal. They almost look like industrial strapped spheres and shapes. There's so many different kinds. They're completely affordable. They can withstand the weather.
Sure.
They come from like 3-inch diameter to 20-inch diameter.
Right.
And toss some of those in with the logs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Rope them to the logs.
Wow.
Kind of cool. Then in the spring, you can incorporate cherry branches or whatever you'd like into that, but leave those metal, like that industrial mixed with the birch. Industrial chic, rustic chic.
No, but that's actually a good transition because I think people right now are sort of in a quandary. Although I will say, and you and I talked about this last night, people are really on, maybe because it hasn't been so cold and snowy, people are on with decorating very early on this year, don't you think? My phone has not been stopped ringing in the first and second week in January.
It's in all of the years I've been doing this, 36.
You started at 2.
Yeah, sorry, I was 2 years old. I started when I was really 17.
Okay.
And it's I have 3 and 4 projects. I'm like, oh, and they're like, we have to have this done by March. I'm like, you do?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know?
Yes.
It's pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
It is nice. So I think that's good for all of us as far as being small businesses and consumer confidence. And maybe we're going to start to move forward, which is terrific.
Consumer confidence.
But I think right now feel very sort of perplexed because Christmas is over. It's not really ready to do the spring thing yet.
No,
and your house looks kind of gloomy outside. No. Like, what is the things that you can do related
white,
to rustic?
White flowers, for instance, in this De Pasquale place. We're right in, like, I don't want to put up spring. I don't want to put up summer yet. But we have branches with white flowers that are being forced, the flower being to open up. I don't know the branch that the florist got for them, but they're cool. And they have thorns on them, but they're kind of funky. Like, they're almost pretty and scary at the same time.
But it's
a white flower. And we're putting those into our birch logs we had from our holiday stuff. And we're leaving that up to the end of January.
Right.
So, like, white flowers on a dark wood branch in a birch log. Looks cool with metal.
Sure. I think if you incorporate, and I think you're onto something there, we touched upon it on last week's show, that if you incorporate the elements of white, which is sort of reflective of snow, you can get away with some things. Like I was even suggesting, if you have residual paper white bulbs, grow them now. They're not really Christmas because they're white. Put them in a great glass container or dish. Have them there. Use white votives with a clear glass holders.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff, river rocks and white. Use tricyclamen in a nice pot. White. Just go with the white. And I think that's a good transitional decorating, don't you think?
It really is. And also, this is something that we've been using, both of us on this for years. It's raffia.
Mm.
You take raffia and you go get it at a store for a few dollars, cut it up and tie it around your paper whites, make a little, not a bow, just a little knot.
Yeah.
And use raffia. Raffia is stunning. Even up on your mantle, like say you have a birch vase or a white vase. Tie raffia around to put the paper whites in it, like you said, fresh cut. Even just greens.
Yeah.
Just simple green leaves. I mean, you can get palm leaves now.
Right.
Some kind of a palm. And they're waxed, so they're like shiny.
They're so good looking, aren't they?
And then put, you know, mercury glass candle holders, a wax leaf, and a white vase with raffia. That's just timeless right now.
You're really painting a picture for us. Okay, we're going to go to I'm going to do the short news. We're going to go to the quick news, and we'll be back with more modern design
with my guest today, live in studio, Cindy Blanco.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He did resist arrest.
But Orlando, Florida Police Chief John Mina says they got their man in the case of the death of a police sergeant last week. He says 41-year-old Markeith Lloyd was arrested but was ready for a fight.
When Lloyd came out the front door, he was wearing body armor and he had two handguns. One of those handguns carries a 100-round drum.
Lloyd is accused of shooting and killing Orlando Sergeant Deborah Clayton in a Walmart parking lot last week. He's suspected also of killing his pregnant ex-girlfriend in December. Meanwhile, a man who shot and killed a North Texas police officer yesterday is dead. That's the word from Little Elm Police Chief Rodney Harrison, saying the man's body was found in a home where he had barricaded himself after shooting and killing the cop. 41st President George H.W. Bush hospitalized since Saturday, we've learned, for shortness of breath. This is USA Radio News.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396. 1396.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I'm with Cindy Blanco, and today's topic happens to be, well, actually, our true title of today's show is Wood Can Be Hot, and that's actually very true, both from a fireplace standpoint and from being kind of popular right now. So Cindy and I got very involved with what we want to talk about because the show goes by so fast. Don't you think you just sort of get your ideas out and it's like, oh, no, it's over.
I could talk to you for 5 hours.
I know. Let's do that. Maybe one day we'll be able to. Okay. Yeah. So we're talking about mantles, mantelpieces. You were talking about dressing the mantle. Yeah. I want to talk about the mantles themselves. One of the things that I did, my last year's house that was in March's issue of Design New Jersey magazine, we put an addition on an older house. And in the addition, I wanted it to have an old sort of rustic look. So we actually got the stones from the property, and they were my mason actually worked with stones on the property to do a stone mantle, a stone fireplace, I should say. Yeah. And then the mantle, I wanted to do something that would be sort of reminiscent of the area. These are Hunterdon County people three generations back. So I found a place on Route 31 called near Flemington, called New Jersey Farms and Barns. And what they do is they collect all timbers from all parts of New Jersey and they save them to repurpose them for other things. So we went out on a beautiful October day with our cinnamon cups of coffee and pumpkin spiced everything. And we went through, you know, piles and piles of wood and we found a timber that would work well. They trimmed the ends for us and we just physically topped our stone fireplace with a timber.
That's
and it
wonderful.
Was fantastic.
Did they hollow it out, the piece, so to speak? Or was it just literally the piece?
It was literally the piece.
Cool. Okay.
And there was enough depth that the homeowner could put things on it.
That's great. Yeah, you always want to have the depth.
Right.
Because you're putting it up there, you want to be able to put things on
it. It was a pretty big timber, so it would work.
That's nice.
You know, it wasn't exactly 100% level, but we found the one that was the most level, so we had a top that you can
preserve.
But you want to have it be level enough that you can put things on it.
Yeah, so they're not sideways.
But other than the cuts to fit, we were so happy with the way it turned out.
Oh, it's stunning.
So what about, I think there's a lot of fireplace ideas that can incorporate some wood elements. What do you think? What have you done or seen or tried?
There was a home in West Orange a couple of years I did, and it was just a very 19th boring 60s center hall. Their fireplace was so ugly. So we
Was it a really big fireplace?
Yeah, it was huge.
Did it stick out of the wall?
It had like marble that was black and green.
Right.
It was like the show Dynasty.
Right.
Brass fireplace screen. It was just really bad. Uh-huh. So we ripped the whole thing down and just put sheetrock the whole wall. They wanted it a little modern, but then they liked all the wood stuff. So we went to a place called Boards and Beams, which is over by me in Fairfield.
Okay.
And they're pricey.
You're taking me shopping.
Wonderful.
You know, you're going to take me shopping.
I'd rather go to the one at Hunterdon County, though. This is like on 46. It's like that pretty. It's
all
like,
right.
The one by you sounds prettier. But it's the same thing. They reclaim the barn wood and things from around the country. They
slip
out to Amish country and get all that stuff. Anyway, they hollow out pieces so that they put – the contractor put two sort of joists up, so to speak, and then you just – put the hollowed piece of wood up on it, and that's how they mounted this mantle, because we just did it right to the wall.
Right.
It was just all sheetrock of an unusual color, and then this piece of wood was just mounted, and it looked really stunning. It was very sleek and modern.
Right.
And then it had the rustic wood piece up on it. It looked really good. And then also, sometimes I go there for scraps, and they just look at me like, again, like I'm crazy, and I'm like, whatever. I guess no one in my area does this but me.
Right.
And I go there, and I dig through their scraps.
Well, that may change after today's broadcast.
I know. Everybody's going to, like, follow me in my rav there.
Right.
So, like, I got all these cool pieces that were almost like the size of a tissue box, a thick tissue box of wood. And I use them in my house as build-ups, which is what you put on tables and things for a Christmas party I had. And I stacked plates of desserts on top of all of the stacks of wood that were different. And some of my friends were like, what the heck? And I'm like, and it created just, you know, depth in the pot. Like, you know, when you go to a catered event and like all the stuff is tiered and different things.
It's called lifts and levels, and
lifts
it makes
and levels. It
right.
looked so good. Like, I'd have the cookies up on three,
three
levels. And to me, that's like my, you know, there's a method to my madness of when I decorate.
But doesn't that give you pleasure? Doesn't
it
give you pleasure when you put that out and looks? Not only does it taste good, but it looks good.
No one cares but you. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm so obsessed with how everything is.
Yeah, but they do care. Now, see, I'm going to qualify that. People do notice those things.
They do. My friends do.
They may not articulate it. They may not know what you did to achieve it, but they will say, why does it always look so good when we go there? And so it is noticed.
It's just pleasurable to look at all that stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, all these chunks of wood I have, and I'll use them in the spring. I'll use them in the summer. You know, out on my deck, I'll use them for maybe a bunch of candles. Like using chunks of wood that are you know, level, and you stack them up. You could put some lanterns on them on your deck in the corner. Say you want to like treat a corner of your deck, and you buy a bunch of lanterns, all different shapes and sizes, and use these pieces of wood to create different levels.
Right.
And that looks really great. Like, you know, stacked on the end of a deck or on a patio or something.
Exactly. I want to transition to a couple of other things that I want to cover, but I read an article that I wanted to talk about some of the things. I took some notes. And they said using rope as a natural element. And in the example, it took an old piece of furniture that someone inherited, and then they painted the piece, and then they took hardware and they covered the bigger part of the handle in rope.
Oh, that's
and
neat.
Then they showed
wrapped it around it,
and it looked really, really nice. I don't know from a practical application how that would really work, but it looked beautiful. Then they took an old chandelier, they painted it white and matte, and they wrapped parts of the chandelier
that's
with
really
rope.
Neat.
Looked awesome.
It's
not something
tiny,
I would think of.
Tiny little thin jute, J-U-T-E,
rope.
And it comes in a couple of different colors, jute.
Okay.
There's a natural jute, and then there's a more of a sort of grayish-brownish one.
Sure.
And yeah, wrapping that is stunning. It's a lot of work, but at the end, it just transforms something.
But I am starting to see things with rope on them. I've been noticing that lately. You know, as much as the rustic look it is, I think that Coastal, which has been around for a long time, is coming together. And Coastal and rope sort of really go very well together.
I saw something so stunning at in a magazine a few years ago where a giant piece of nautical rope, like it probably was 3-inch diameter rope, was used as a handrail to go up the stairs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it was so pretty.
Yeah.
And then the mounting parts where they mounted it was cool. It was like a boat hold window.
Right.
Like a brass portal.
Yeah.
Porthole. And that was where they mounted it. It was so beautiful. But I don't know what they did to that rope to make it just like always stiff up the steps. But it was the handrail.
Huh. Maybe
it's really pretty.
Treated it with something.
Yeah, like dipped in glue or something.
I have seen lamps that were covered in rope. So I'm starting to see it, you know.
It's like a little twisted knot. And that's the base. That's cute.
But you're just saying, like, even lampshades. When I see lampshades now, they're never slick anymore. The lampshades often look like they're some sort of a linen or something that's related, you know, a wood-like or a natural-like surface. So you just, I think, seeing influences of it.
I agree.
In everything. I want to talk about branches and something that always surprised me. I think winter has its own natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. Each season is very different. And yeah. sometimes I like that we live in an area that things are constantly changing.
Sure. Lots of woods.
Did you ever just go into a parking lot of a store or shopping mall and it's like winter time and you see these sort of gnarled branches? They haven't quite gotten their buds yet, or they do have the buds, but they're... I love just raw branches, don't you
think?
They
look great. I like branches with nothing. I like manzanita wood. You know that stuff?
I don't.
Manzanita wood is great. It's I think it's an Asian. I think it comes from Asia.
Sure.
But it's a thick stump. I mean, it's also very pricey because it's stunning. But just one piece of it in a vase or something is stunning. And if you spray it out in different colors, like
right.
I do some wedding centerpiece, I'm spraying them all in pastel colors. And it's gorgeous on its own with no flowers in it.
Wow.
But manzanita is a cool wood. And just any kind of a branch that is thick
right.
and with no flowers and no foliage on it
right.
is beautiful all by itself.
Oh, I absolutely agree. There's an architectural element to it. I almost think like winter branches can kind of look like coral, don't you think?
Absolutely. You'd say that if you saw this manzanita wood. It's like a coral-like look. But it's stunning. Absolutely
it's just
stunning.
Art.
It is art. Yeah.
I have seen, now that I haven't done it, I've seen where people have lit a room by using branches. I mean, not sort of the main light source, but then wrap lights around it.
Oh, it's those tiny little fairy lights.
Right. And then just use it for some ambient light in a space by working with branches. So I think there's a lot of things. I did have a project with a couple were Brooklyn chic and they came to Maplewood and they wanted to do something fun in their powder room and they didn't want to do another picture. So we took a branch and we silver leafed it and and then we mounted it to the wall. And that sounds bizarre.
It's not.
It was beautiful.
See, we totally dig that.
Right.
But it's nice to do that.
I was skeptical as I was out there going
spraying it out. Yeah.
But you know what? It really turned out kind of cool.
And they loved it.
And they loved it.
There you go. That's cool.
So so that was kind of fun. So working with branches is good. Anything else you've ever done with branches?
With branches on either sides of your hearth, of your fireplace.
Okay.
If you stuff a bunch of branches just loose into two containers, they don't necessarily have to match or be the same height.
Right.
That's pretty too, to leave all year round. And then you put something on the vase that incorporates with the season.
Do you just go out sometimes? I hope I don't get in trouble, but I'll go out some. And it was a public building yesterday, and I always have scissors with me, which is kind of dangerous.
Oh, I have all kinds of weird clippers in my car.
And there were boxwood uncovered old boxwoods, so I just snipped them off.
Cutting them? Oh my God,
I just started taking them, and then I just put them in my pots because I like the tips of the boxwoods.
They look good.
And this didn't like freezer. You know how you had to protect boxwoods.
Yeah,
and they almost look like roses themselves. Like the tips of the boxwoods have a really nice compressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
So I see beauty in those things. I think rhododendrons. You could take the heads of rhododendrons and
stunning flower.
Right, it's so architectural.
Really,
you know, and a lot of stuff like that that I think we take for granted has its own beauty. It's more of a simple beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a big rose.
No, you don't have to go buy a big bouquet of flowers with the baby's breath in it and all that.
Like,
cut stuff down in your yard.
One of the best things that I think I ever sort of discovered was just when there's wild stuff in my yard and just putting it in a vase. I have a library room, very small library room, but it's all sort of dark brown wood. So I was noticing, because I have ferns, naturally occurring ferns on my property, the ferns themselves are beautiful. Having company. I didn't have time to go get anything. I have tons and tons and tons of every shape, just clear glass vase you can think of. Simple.
Right.
So I just put one in that room, and then I just took some
fern branches.
Ferns alone.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
They're stunning. And just one in a vase is great.
You don't need a lot.
No, you just take off some of the bottom so it just gets into the water and just a piece by itself. They're stunning fern. I love them.
And they last a long time.
They do. Yeah, they're really hardy.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about framing. So I know you've had some great experiences with framing, and maybe you can share some with our listeners.
One of the neatest things I did recently, about a year ago, is Rockin' Joe's. It's a cute coffee shop in Caldwell. And they have all kinds of rock and roll posters and memorabilia. And it was just in plastic frames. So one of the bigger pieces was an awesome photograph, famous, of the Ramones in front of CBGB's. And it's probably taken in like 80 or something, or 79.
But that's like so cool.
It's the coolest picture of them. They're wearing Converse and ripped jeans.
Right.
And they're all beat up and gnarly. But they look so good.
Right.
So anyway, it's on the corner, Bowery, right there. And mm-hmm. it's a great shot. The image was 4 feet by 6 feet high. And it's in this Big. Coffee shop. And it was just on the wall on foam core. And it looked terrible.
Sure.
So the people who own the shop I'm friendly with. And I said, I got to help you with this. It was mm-hmm. making me nuts. So I went and found a bunch of reclaimed wood. I took up some scraps from the garbage.
I'm going to follow you one day. And I'm going to follow because I think she has a cache of reclaimed wood and she's not sharing it or telling
right
anybody.
I got a little bit. I use a lot at the holidays. But I got all these different pieces. I slapped some black paint on some of them.
Okay.
Because the wall color was a really pale mustard.
Uh-huh.
And just nailed the poster up with giant heavy-duty staple gun. And then I just took nails, finishing nails, and mounted it and framed out the poster. And he says, people ask him all the time, where can I buy that poster like that? And they don't realize it's just what that
was.
That's
what you did.
A little bit of black paint. Some of the wood is, it doesn't match up like perfect framing.
Right.
But like it overlapped on the edges. And it just really looks fantastic.
So when you paint wood like that, what type of paint do you use? Do you use craft paint?
No,
do you use...
I actually just use a regular paint from regular Benjamin Moore. Just
In what kind of a
regular
finish?
Regular latex. I like to use semi-gloss. I also like to use a satin finish. And I just take a chip brush, you know, those little disposable ones, and just slap the paint on. Because a lot of times when I'm painting things, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Is the end result that it's
distressed.
Not perfect?
Yes.
So you don't want too shiny and too glossy. You want it to be sort of rugged looking.
Right,
painted.
And wood is so porous. So what happens is as you're painting it.
It absorbs differently.
Yeah, it'll absorb it at certain parts where there's a knot hole. It won't absorb because that's the hardest part of the wood where another branch grew off of.
Right.
So you'll notice that the paint will just sort of, the wood actually makes the paint adhere differently all over the place. And it looks nice. It's easy to do.
I have one of my resources that I have near my store, besides Rugstore, which is where I share my store with, is a woman. Diane. She calls herself the Carpet Girl. I'm going to call you the Wood Girl.
Yeah. I don't know.
You'll be very popular.
Yeah, I wouldn't get off. Well,
you know what? I should have thought that. You get a lot of phone calls anyway. But you really do. I think you really do incorporate. You're dangerous for me on live radio. So you really do incorporate the elements of wood in a lot of what you do. Did you always do that, or is that you're going more towards that?
Always did that from when I first started doing visual merchandising.
But it wasn't always generalized popular back then, because I think when you and I started our careers, it wasn't about that at all. It was about elegance and formality and being as perfect as you can be. And now it's exactly the opposite of that.
The opposite.
So how were you able to incorporate wood back then?
The first experience I had, which is funny to incorporate it, was I worked for a store, Conrans. It was a home.
Oh, I loved Conrans.
Oh, my God. So many people still are like, where was that? I don't know it. So there were
Conrans came around at the wrong time.
It did.
So, right? Absolutely. Conrans should have came around now because that incorporates what everything is like now, right?
Everything.
So it was just the wrong time.
It was. They'd have these funky, like, alpha shelving. And they'd have a dried flower department next to it. Like, it was so cool for its time.
It was.
So it was probably 87, I think, I was working there for them. And it was at the store in the city at Astor Place, which is now a Barnes & Noble. And we were in the dried flower shop, me and a good friend of mine, Richard, who I used to work with there. And we took birch logs.
Right.
And this is 86, I think. 87. And we're hanging dried flowers from them with rope.
Wow.
Women are coming up going nuts. And he goes, just keep doing it. And I'm like, so I was like his little, like, you know, his elf. Right. And he's like, just keep wrapping faster. And we couldn't sell the stuff fast enough.
So you were really ahead of your time.
We were laughing. And I have a picture somewhere, you know, a photograph. You know, and I have to find it and put it up on Facebook and get him to look at it. Because him and I working feverishly, tying rope to logs with branches, and people are lining up like it was a food bank line. It was ridiculous. Not to make a joke about it, but it was just like,
no, it's great.
Crazy. People were like, I want three lavender and one this. I'm like, and it was, we like wiped out the whole dried flower department in a day.
Wow.
It was just this little event we created, which events really weren't big back then in retail.
No.
And we created this event and we were ahead of our time. He's like, oh my God, we have to do this. And then we were going to open a business, and then it just became, you know, he went his separate way and I did, but we're still friends. But that was a funny experience. Yeah. Birch logs, rope, and dried flowers.
But it goes to show you, if you add the wood element, you could have done it in 1986 or 2017.
Now, even taking a birch log and or any kind of piece of wood, tying rope from it, and hanging picture frames off of it. I've done that for some customers. They like that. It's inexpensive to do, and it looks cool. You can do it with elegant frames, with rustic frames, with no matter what the price point
is. And if you do a gallery, you can do a combination.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you get the right customer who wants to, somebody who wants to, you know, who likes that. That's what's important.
Cindy, we just have about 2 minutes left. Sure. So I want to end on putting wood on an accent wall, which I'm seeing everywhere.
It's
I
everywhere.
Look all over.
Beautiful.
I had a couple of guys on their company's called the Johnson Brothers, and what they do is they do wood for walls, and they have been out for a long time, and now they're busier than ever, so I don't know if we'll get them back on our broadcast. But what they specialize is in wood that's designed for walls, all different type of woods, and that you would do it as an accent wall.
Yeah, just one wall.
Just
some people
one
do
wall.
Their whole home in it, their whole
To me, that's
room.
Too much. You don't appreciate it.
It is. It is too much. And if it's done right and it's done lightly, like a lighter color, it's absolutely stunning. I know several people who have done that in their homes. It's just beautiful work.
I absolutely love it. It's inspiring. It's not inexpensive.
No, and if you have walls that are all crappy and beat up and you don't feel like patching them and spackling and all that, you know, especially in an older home,
right.
Wall settle, sheetrock cracks and all that. Put this up on one
wall. Yeah, because it's forgiving.
It is forgiving. And then just nail picture frames on it or whatever you want. You pull the nail out. It doesn't matter.
No, it's
doesn't matter
great.
As a whole, but it's absolutely gorgeous.
And as you say, it's also a wonderful backdrop. Let's say you have it even on your fireplace wall and you have this one wall behind with all this wonderful wood on it. You could lean pictures on it, artwork. It's a wonderful backdrop to accept other things.
Anything pops off of it. You know, that whole term popping off. It
no,
does, though.
It's absolutely
frames,
wonderful.
And even your kids' artwork, if you have like a mudroom, say you put up some wood on the wall and start, instead of a cork board or what people do, take your kids' artwork of the week, stick it up on a nail, put nails up and just push the artwork on it and create like a whole collage.
And
on
have
top
it be
of it.
Its own hook, right?
Its own hook, its
it
own
almost,
artwork.
It almost seems the simpler we get with things, the more we appreciate them.
It's true. If you stand there and study it and analyze it and try to overthink it, it doesn't come
doesn't
out
work.
Right.
No, no, it has to be organic and natural,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's comforting for everybody.
Cindy, we've come to the end of the hour. I think our listeners have learned so much from you. You're a wonderful resource,
Thank
and I hope
you.
You'll come back again. As you can tell by they're kind of pulling her table away from her while she's trying to speak. I mean, this is our moving day, so
yeah,
she
literally.
Came into probably no coffee, no water, no
I'm
anything.
Fine, I'm
okay,
good.
But we will be next show. I would think next week we will be in new studios. We're adding the YouTube channel, and we're going to be doing television cameras. So we're going to be going wonderful places. And the next time you come back, I want you to bring lots of stuff with you because we can actually show the people what these things look like.
I will. It'd be really good to get a visual.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody who listens to Modern Design, we have great things happening this year. I look forward to seeing you live in studio next Wednesday. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He did resist arrest.
But Orlando, Florida Police Chief John Mina says they got their man in the case of the death of a police sergeant last week. He says 41-year-old Mark Heath Lloyd was arrested but was ready for a fight.
When Lloyd came out the front door, he was wearing body armor and he had two handguns. One of those handguns carries a 100-round drum.
Lloyd is accused of shooting and killing Orlando Sergeant Deborah Clayton in a Walmart parking lot last week. He's suspected also of killing his pregnant ex-girlfriend in December. Meanwhile, a man who shot and killed a North Texas police officer yesterday is dead. That's the word from Little Elm Police Chief Rodney Harrison, saying the man's body was found in a home where he had barricaded himself after shooting and killing the cop. 41st President George H.W. Bush hospitalized since Saturday, we've learned, for shortness of breath. This is USA Radio News.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens